الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم زدنا علما وفقهنا في الدين. اللهم اجعلنا هداة المعتدين. We ask Allah Ta'ala to guide us to that which pleases Him and that which He loves. May He put the blessing in this gathering, inshallah Ta'ala. May He make it beneficial for us and be a means of understanding His religion. May He teach us what benefits us and benefit us by what He has taught us. And may Allah give us the fiqh, the understanding, the knowledge, inshallah, increase us much in knowledge and wisdom and guidance, inshallah ta'ala. And we ask that He make this program pleasant for you and enjoyable, inshallah ta'ala. And may peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad and his family and companions. What comes after? I'd like to welcome you again, inshallah ta'ala, to today's seminar on the fiqh of fasting. The fiqh of the fasting. Inshallah, the program for tonight, we will have myself and the other instructor will be Sheikh Sajid, who's on his way here from New York, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll have a session from now until maybe around 7 o'clock, inshallah, from the book Bulugh al-Maram, on some of the ahadith in the chapter of the fasting, inshallah ta'ala. Then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll work on this worksheet together, inshallah ta'ala, and see, go over the rulings of the ulama from Mecca. This is called Dar al-Ifta, the scholars in Mecca. The chairman of that group of ulama, his name was Sheikh Ibn Baz. May Allah have mercy on him. So here in this packet, you actually will find the questions and the short answers are there for you. But inshallah, we'll give a little bit more detail for the answers on those questions, inshallah ta'ala. And then, bi-idhnillah, hopefully we'll have some refreshments by then, inshallah, Brother Hamid will bring them. We'll break for Maghrib, and then any questions and answers that you have, we'll take, inshallah, after Maghrib. During the halaqa, you're welcome to ask questions that are related to the dars, inshallah, you're welcome to ask. If you have any general questions, then inshallah you can ask them also towards the end, inshallah we'll have more time. So I welcome you again, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll start out today, inshallah. This is the book from Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. May Allah be pleased with him. And he compiled these ahadith pertaining to the fiqh, the Islamic law, the jurisprudence. So let us read the first hadith together, inshallah ta'ala, and then we'll discuss the commentary of the scholars on it, inshallah. And the commentary I'll be using is from Madinatul Munawwara by the great scholar there. His name was Atiyah Muhammad Salim, inshallah ta'ala. So the hadith. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين إلا رجل كان يصوم صوما فليصمه. متفق عليه. This hadith, it was narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not fast for one day or 2 days before Ramadan. Do not fast for one day or 2 days ahead of Ramadan, except for a person who had a normal habit of fasting on those days. Now, he may fast on that day. In this hadith, it is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. So here in the chapter of fasting, the siyam, what does the word sawm mean? The word sawm. And the scholars, they say that sawm, literally in Arabic, what it means is to withhold from something, to withhold or restrain something. And linguistically, it could even mean to withhold from speech, from talking. Because we see in the Quran, when Maryam alayhi salam, when the people came to her and they asked her about the baby, she says, I have made an oath to do a song. إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلْرَحْمَانِ صَوْمًا. We see in Surah Maryam, Surah number 19, Maryam alayhi salam, she says, I have promised the merciful one to do a sawm. And then she says, Fala, I will not speak to anybody today. So what did sawm, what did she mean by sawm here? Withholding from speech. She didn't mean fasting, like she's fasting, she's not going to eat and drink, because she just had the baby. She's in her postnatal bleeding. She couldn't fast. And when a woman is bleeding, she's not fasting. So what she meant is withholding from speech. And then in the Arabs, they also say that the horse, if he doesn't want to move, he just stops running. They say khaylun sa'imun. That this horse, he doesn't want to run around. So what does sawm mean? It means that withholding, holding back from something. This is very the meaning of sawm, fasting. And what it means in the religious sciences, sawm, it means to withhold from the desires of the stomach and the private parts from the break of dawn all the way until to when? Till sunset on specific days. Specific days. Wa alaykum salam. Now, so fasting, what does sawm mean? Withholding from what? The desires of the stomach and the private parts. From the break of dawn until the setting of the sun. On specific days. With the intention. With an intention. This is also important. Because what happens sometimes, if somebody's on a diet, they don't eat and drink the whole day, from dawn till sunset. And would they get rewarded for fasting? Would that count? They didn't have the intention for the sake of Allah. So withholding from the desires of the stomach and the private parts from dawn to sunset with intention. This is very important, that when we fast, we have to have the intention to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, is that clear for what fasting is? What the sawm is? Okay. So here in this hadith, Abu Huraira, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not precede Ramadan by fasting 1 or 2 days. So what happens is when we're at the end of the month of Sha'ban, it's not allowed to add extra days before Ramadan as a precaution. You know, some people, they say, why don't we fast a day before Ramadan and a day after Ramadan, just to be on the safe side. You know, to make sure that we fasted the whole month, in case there was any mistake. So what happens if somebody, they do that, then they end up fasting 32 days, right? And this is what happened amongst the Bani Israel and the Jews and the Christians. What happened is they fasted. What they did is they had fasting before, right? Was the Christians and Jews, did they have fasting? Right? Allah, He mentions in the Quran. Does anybody know the ayah? Yes, what is it? It's in Surah Baqarah. Allah says, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you just as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may achieve taqwa and obedience to Allah. So the Christians and the Jewish people, they had fasting. But what they did is they fasted a day before and a day after. So they said, let's be on the safe side, let's fast a day before and a day after. So they ended up fasting 32 days. Then as time went by, their children came, and their children, they thought that Ramadan or their fasting was 32 days. So they said, let's fast the day before and the day after. So they ended up fasting, how many days? 34 days. And then the next generation came and they said, oh, we're supposed to fast 34 days. Let's do a day before and a day after to be safe. And then they continued adding days like this until it reached 40 days. Right? And then they thought you have to fast 40 days. So this was, this is forbidden by the Prophet ﷺ to add any extra days, because over time it might change the what was commanded by Allah. Allah, He only commanded us to fast the 30 days. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade. He said, do not precede Ramadan by one day or 2 days, except a person who is in the normal habit of fasting those days. So somebody, they always fast Monday and Thursday, right? Some people that's from the Sunnah. So then the last day of Sha'ban, the day before Ramadan, happens to fall on a Thursday. So is he allowed to fast that day? The Thursday that he normally fasts every week?
Yeah.
He's allowed to do that. Why is he allowed to do that? Because is he fasting it to be on the safe side? He's not doing it to try to go beyond what Islam has commanded, but he's doing it in order, because that's his normal habit. So the intention of imitating what the Christians and the Jewish people did is not there. He's doing it only because it's his normal habit. Assalamu alaikum, sister. There's a packet on the table there. If you want to take the packet, there should be a printout. Yeah. Okay, maybe the sisters, they might have another packet for you, inshallah. I think the sisters have an extra packet. So the person, if he normally has the habit of fasting Monday and Thursday, then there's no harm on him to fast the day before Ramadan, inshallah. Okay? Any questions on this hadith? We'll go to the next one. Inshallah? Okay. Next hadith here is narrated by Ammar ibn Yasir, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that whoever fasts من صام اليوم الذي يشك فيه فقد عصى أبا القاسم ذكره البخاري تعليقا. Okay, this is a very interesting hadith. It was narrated by Ammar ibn Yasir. He was one of the young, early Sahaba to accept Islam. And he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, do not fast, or he said, excuse me, whoever fasts the day of doubt, then he has disobeyed Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? This hadith is narrated by Imam Bukhari. Whoever fasts the day of doubt, then he has disobeyed Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is this hadith referring to? Whoever fasts the day of doubt. The day of doubt is what they call Yom al-Shak. And what that means is, at the end of Ramadan, I'm sorry, at the end of Sha'ban, when they're looking to start the month of Ramadan, if it's cloudy on that night, it's covered up with clouds, and they can't see, just like today, they can't see anything in the sky. So they don't know if the moon is there or not, the new moon for Ramadan. So what does the Prophet ﷺ teach? We wait an extra day, we complete 30 days of Sha'ban, and then we start Ramadan after that. But what if somebody, they say, I don't know, maybe the moon is there, so I'm just going to start, I'm going to fast tomorrow anyway. That day when the moon is covered up, when the 29th, if it's cloudy, the next day is called the day of doubt. The day of doubt, the Yom HaShak. So somebody, they were not able to see the moon, and so they say, I'm going to fast anyway tomorrow, just in case the moon was there. Then he's fasting on the day of doubt, Yom HaShak. So, what did the Prophet ﷺ say about that person? He has disobeyed Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So what's wrong with fasting on the day of doubt? Why is this? Why did the Prophet ﷺ forbid that? Fasting on the day of doubt.
You're not sure.
You're not sure what day is it? Is it Ramadan or is it Shaaban? So why would this be something that we're discouraged from doing? No, Sheikh Sajid? Yes?
Why would it be a
safe? You're saying you want to be on the safe side, so you fast that day. But actually what happens in Islam is when we have an intention for a deed, either it's obligatory or it's a sunnah, right? When you intend, like when you stand up to pray Fajr, you're intending to pray the Fard, right? Can you have two intentions in one act of worship? Can you say, maybe this is Fard, maybe this is Sunnah? If you stand up for Fajr. Like, can somebody stand up and he doesn't know how much time is left for the sun to rise? So he says, I'm going to pray two rakahs. And maybe this is Fard if the sun rises. But maybe it will be Sunnah if the sun doesn't rise, and then I'll pray the Fard. Can you do that? Can you have that kind of intention? No. You can only have one intention for the act of worship. So somebody who's fasting on the day before Ramadan, which is a doubtful day, so he says, if it's Ramadan, then I'm fasting the Fard of Ramadan. And if it's not Ramadan, it's just going to be an extra fast. Is that allowed to have mix up the intention? This is what the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not fast the day of doubt. Whoever does that, he is disobeying Abu al-Qasim. So you see the reason why he forbade fasting on that day? Because we don't know what act of worship we're doing. And in Islam, the Prophet ﷺ, he encouraged us to make the fard distinct from the sunnah. You know, to make the fard separate from the sunnah. Like, you know, maybe you're familiar, when you pray your fard prayer, like Isha, and you want to pray sunnah, should you stay in the same spot to pray the sunnah? What should you do? Move a little bit, right, to another spot. Move back or move to another line. Even the imam, when he finishes, he moves back. What is the reason for that? Yes. Some of the ulama, they mentioned what the wisdom, because the Prophet ﷺ did that. They say part of the wisdom is to separate the fard from the sunnah, you know, to make so that they're not mixed up together. You know, that one is different from the other. No. Okay. So this hadith, he has disobeyed. He has gone against Abu al-Qasim. Right. He is Asa Abu al-Qasim. Who is Abu al-Qasim, the father of Qasim? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was one of his, what they call in Arabic, kunya. Kunya means the father of so-and-so. And there's a tradition amongst the Arabs that they would take on a nickname, like, who here has a son? Does anybody have a son here? Nobody has? Yes. What's your son's name? Muhammad. So what would your kunya be? Your nickname, and according to the Arabs? Abu Muhammad. Father of Muhammad, right? And usually it means it's related to the son, but sometimes it could be another name. Like, you might have heard of Abu Huraira, right? Father of, what does Huraira mean?
Kitten.
So here the meaning is metaphorical. It doesn't mean, obviously, he didn't have a son named Huraira, but he was very fond of the kittens. So they gave him that. In Arabic language, when you say father of something, it means somebody who was who had a lot of fondness for a certain thing, or he was related to that action. So they would be called the father of. So here Abu Huraira, he had the kunya, Abu Huraira. The Prophet says to him, Abu al-Qasim. Abu al-Qasim, the father of Qasim. He had a boy, a son named Qasim. Okay, so here, this is disobedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody trying to exaggerate the act of worship. As the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us to fast when you see the, when you begin the month, and to break the fast when you begin the next month. So here they want to exaggerate to do something better than what the Prophet ﷺ has taught. And can we do better than the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? No need to exaggerate and do beyond what he has taught, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, also this as a side note, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you can use my name, but don't use my kunya. He said, when you name your children, you can name them Muhammad. But he said, do not name them Abu al-Qasim, the father of Qasim. Because that was a specific nickname only for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, any questions on this? Should we go on to the next one, inshallah? Okay, clear on this hadith? Kids clear? Understood it? Okay, I'm going to reward you, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, alhamdulillah, this is a very nice hadith here. Okay, this hadith was narrated عن حفصة أم المؤمنين رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من لم يبيت الصيام قبل الفجر فلا صيام له رواه الخمسة. Now, okay, so this hadith here was narrated by Hafsa, the mother of the believers. Hafsa was the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. She was also the daughter of which famous Sahabi? Hafsa. She was the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. And she was also the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She narrated the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever did not have the intention the night before, whoever did not have the intention of fasting before the Fajr, then he does not have any fasting. The one who does not make the intention before Fajr, then his fasting is not accepted. Okay, this hadith is narrated by the five now, which means the four Sunan and Imam Ahmad. Now, so here are the mother of the believers, Hafsa, may Allah be pleased with her. She is telling us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that whoever does not make the intention before dawn, then his fasting will not be accepted. So, what we mentioned in the beginning, when we talked about what does the word sawm mean, it means withholding the desires of the stomach and the private parts from dawn to sunset with intention. With the intention. So the intention is an essential part, because every act of worship, it has to have intention for it, a pure intention. So here the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, when do we make that intention for fasting? Can we wait till the middle of the day and then say, I intend to fast Ramadan today? Or do we have to have that intention before the day starts? For the fasting of Ramadan, here the Prophet ﷺ is saying, but he has to have the intention before the Fajr time. Before the time of Fajr. It's required for us to have the intention to fast the month of Ramadan before Ramadan begins. So if somebody, they formed the intention after the day already began, like say they didn't know about Ramadan, and then somebody told them in the middle of the day, they said, today is Ramadan. So they started fasting from that time on. Is that fasting of that day accepted?
No.
It's not accepted because the Prophet ﷺ said one has to have the intention before the Fajr time. Naam. Man lam yubayyid. Yubayyid means before he goes, he spends the night. But actually the ulama, they explained what it means is before the coming of Fajr. If somebody were to form the niyyah, the intention, right before Fajr, that would suffice for the person, inshaAllah ta'ala. So, how do we intend our fasting of Ramadan? Do we have to do it every night? Do we have to do it every night? Or is it sufficient to intend to fast the whole month in the beginning of the month? Here you have a difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Some of them say that every night we should renew our intention to fast the next day. But another view, which is that simply knowing that Ramadan is beginning and knowing that it's going to be Ramadan tomorrow, that's enough of an intention. You don't have to say any words, I intend to fast Ramadan tomorrow, and you don't have to do any extra action. Just we should be conscious that tomorrow is Ramadan and I'm going to fast it, inshallah. That's where the intention is, right? Where is the place of the intention? In the heart. Not on the tongue, not the words, but it's in the heart. So here is the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever did not have the intention before Fajr, then he does not have the fasting. And so what the ulama they mention is that we have to intend that we're going to do the fard fast. The fard fast of Ramadan. This is for the month of Ramadan. We have to have the intention for it. But what about for the extra-agatory acts of fasting? Like say you want to fast outside of Ramadan. You say, let me fast on a Monday or a Thursday or any other day of the year. Do we have to have the intention beforehand?
Yes.
Actually, there's another hadith, which is actually the next hadith that will give us a more clear picture, inshallah. But this hadith, it teaches us about the month of Ramadan. Let's read the next hadith together. This hadith is narrated by Aisha, the mother of the believers. May Allah be pleased with her. And she said, دخل علي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم فقال هل عندكم شيء قلنا لا قال فإني إذا صائم ثم أتانا يوما آخر فقلنا أهدي لنا حيث فقال أرينيه فلقد أصبحت صائما ثم فأكل رواه مسلم. So this here is a very interesting hadith. One morning the Prophet ﷺ, Aisha, she said that he came to me and he said, do you have anything to eat? So I said, Aisha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, she said, no, I don't have anything to eat. This was in the morning time, after Fajr. He came to his wife Aisha, he said to his wife, do we have anything to eat? SubhanAllah, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I don't have anything to eat. So then what did the Prophet ﷺ say? He said, I'm fasting. He said, then, if there's nothing to eat, then I'm going to fast today. And then another day, he came to Aisha, and the Aisha, she said, he came to her, and she had a nice tray of food, which is called hais. Hais is a mixture of dates and butter. So the Prophet ﷺ, he asked her, do you have any food? She said, yeah, I have this nice dish of dates and ghee. So he said, let me have it. I woke up, I was fasting, but now let me eat these dates. Okay, is that clear for this hadith? This is narrated by Imam Muslim. So basically there were two different occasions. One occasion, the Prophet ﷺ came to his wife Aisha and he said, do you have any food? She said, no, So he said, okay, then in that case, I'm going to fast the rest of the day. So when he came to his wife Aisha, did he have the intention of fasting?
No.
He hadn't. He didn't make up his mind, right? He was asking if there's food. If there was food, he was going to eat it. If there's no food, then he said he intended to fast. Right? So when did he make his intention to fast? Was it before Fajr or after Fajr?
After
Fajr. So how is it that in the previous hadith he said whoever doesn't have the intention before Fajr, there's no fasting? And in this hadith he made his intention in the morning time when there was no food. Yeah? What was the fard and the nafl? That's right. Obviously the second hadith here, he asked her if she has any food. Was that in Ramadan?
No.
Of course not. He wouldn't ask her if he has any food in the day in Ramadan. So that must have been an extra fast outside of Ramadan. So here the ulama, they made the distinction between the previous hadith, he said you have to have the intention at the night time. And the reason for that is because fasting is an act of worship. So if you don't have an intention, then the obligation in Ramadan is to fast from Fajr till sunset. If you did not have the intention at Fajr time, that means in the beginning of the day, were you really fasting, the obligatory fast? You didn't have the intention for it. So this is why one has to have the intention before Fajr, so that the whole day will be fasting. But when it comes to the optional fasting, the ulama say that one can form the intention even after Fajr. They don't have to have the intention from the morning. Just like the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I am fasting. When he asked her if she had food, she said no. He said, okay, I'm going to fast then. SubhanAllah. And this is also shows you, you know, SubhanAllah, how the Prophet ﷺ, he lived a very simple life. And some days he didn't even have food in his house. And Aisha, she said that when he went to make sajda, he would touch my legs so I can move my legs. She was laying down so he can have room to make sajda. So how big was his house? Not very big, right? And one of the other Sahaba, he said, Wallahi, if I was in the Prophet's house, if I put my hands, I could touch the ceiling of the house. So you see how even many occasions he had hardly anything, you know, in his home. A very simple home. And so on this occasion he had nothing to eat, so he said, let me fast today. Another occasion he came in and he asked Aisha, do we have anything to eat? And she said, I got a dish of some dates and butter. So he said, I was fasting, but now I'm going to give me the dish so I can eat it. So what did he do? Did he break his fast? He did, right? Is it allowed to break the optional fast? No. This is the evidence that the scholars, they say, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, let me eat this dish, even though he was already fasting that day. But this again is optional fasting. For the obligatory fasting, is a person allowed to eat something? Somebody allowed to if they eat something for the obligatory fast, then they have to, it's a sin, first of all. It's a major sin. Eating, drinking, having the marital intimacy,